I'm John Strum, and this is a Real Talk MS Ectrums Extra conversation. I'm at Ectrums 2023 in Milan, and I'm speaking with Dr. Annette Langer-Gould, an MS specialist who's co-chairing a session here at Ectrums on MS and comorbidities. Dr. Langer-Gould has joined me on the podcast before, but I don't often get to see her in person, so it's very nice to see you.
Nice to see you again, John. Thank you so much for inviting me.
If I have my definitions right, and I hope I do, comorbidities are other health conditions that someone living with MS might also have. Is that it?
That's correct.
So does having MS make someone more susceptible to developing a comorbid condition?
Yes, most definitely the rates of anxiety and depression are considerably higher in people with MS than age-matched controls. And also migraine seems to be far more common starting around the time of the onset of the MS in people with multiple sclerosis.
What are some examples of common comorbidities among people with MS?
So it depends on age, but anxiety, depression, migraine, and cardiovascular diseases as they age, and COPD. So smoking is a risk factor for MS, so not too terribly surprisingly, they also have a higher risk of COPD.
Besides having their own impact on a person's health, can comorbidities make that person's MS worse?
Yes, definitely. Both anxiety and depression seem to be associated with worsening disability progression and higher and vascular risk factors with higher relapse rates. Exactly how they do it is unclear. It's certainly possible that anxiety and depression, they decrease adherence with medications that need to be taken regularly. And we heard a really nice talk at our session today talking about compliant problems with compliance, both with injectables and fingolimod in people with anxiety and depression and their MS.
That's interesting. Is age a factor in developing comorbidities?
What do you think? I was a lot healthier when I was in my 20s, that's for sure. So absolutely, yes. People get more comorbidities as they age, and MS is no exception. And the big ones in terms of impacting MS outcomes or EDSS scores, disability scores, are cardiovascular comorbidities and also diabetes. So you can imagine if you have MS and now you get a diabetic neuropathy, your balance is going to be off even more than if you had not developed the diabetic neuropathy.
That's interesting. I can imagine that someone living with MS, when a different symptom develops, I think their go-to explanation to themselves is, oh, it's my MS. But in fact, it doesn't necessarily mean it is.
That's correct. We always have to be vigilant, particularly in our patients who are not in the best health, that this may not be an MS relapse. This may actually be a stroke that they're having.
If you're being treated by a physician for a comorbidity, it seems really important that the physician and your neurologist are talking to each other so that your MS specialist, your neurologist, understands all the treatment you're receiving so that everybody is clear on what's being prescribed and they can all work together. It seems important.
Definitely. Absolutely. We do it in the form of an electronic health record so we can see each other's notes, and we also can send each other messages through the electronic health record. And we can also look at their labs and say whether or not their hemoglobin A1C is controlled or whether their lipids are under control. And I think it's a really important role for neurologists to emphasize with their MS patients that they also need to be managing their comorbidities. Sometimes our patients get really, they really sort of get hung up on the DMTs, and their MS has been stable for years, or they have slowly progressive MS, which the DMTs don't really help with anyway. And they use that as, that uses up a lot of their mental energy, so they're not paying attention to doing a better job controlling their lipids, their blood pressure, and their blood sugars.
I'm glad you mentioned the fact that MS can use up a lot of their energy. Just living with MS alone does really use up a lot of someone's personal bandwidth, I guess I'll call it. So I'm wondering, has there been any research done on how comorbidities might affect a person's mood or their emotional well-being?
Not that I'm aware of. It's a pretty tricky study to do because the rate of depression and anxiety are already so high. We did just see one presentation from Dr. Alfredson in Sweden showing that obesity not only increases the risk of disability accumulation, but also increases the risk of cognitive impairment over a 15-year period. So.
Dr. Annette Langer-Gould, thank you for all you do to improve the lives of people who are living with MS. Thanks again for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm John Strum, and this Real Talk MS Ectrums Extra is made possible through a grant from Sanofi.